How many of you have had your DNA tested to find out who your relatives are? Quite a few. What do they call that? 23-something? 23andMe, and then there's another one. Ancestry.com. So you take a simple DNA test, and you can determine your ancestry. Sometimes you're surprised what you find out. And sometimes people boast about their heritage and they think that they were such and such, and then they take that test and that test disproves what they've been saying. Or sometimes they just find out things that they're very surprised to find out. But they say that DNA tests are accurate enough to solve crimes. Imagine a billionaire who dies and he has no family, no descendants, no one to whom he leaves everything. And so you walk in claiming to be a descendant and you claim the inheritance. Would the executors just say, oh, okay, sign right here and the inheritance is yours? That would never happen. And yet today, to advance themselves, men claim that God is their father. And everybody just believes them, just because they say it. We call that being gullible. And why do we believe it? Simply because they claimed it. You said that would never work for a billionaire's inheritance. But we believe it when people say, yes, God is my father. Don't you wish that there was a true way to identify the children of God, some kind of a spiritual DNA test? Maybe we could call it divine newborn authentication. How could you authenticate that somebody was spiritually a child of God? Well, that's what we're looking at here in this chapter. John chapter 8, identifying your spiritual father. You know, it's possible even to deceive yourself. It is possible for you to think that you're a child of God when you really are not. And sometimes this takes place because somebody tells you, oh, I heard you pray that prayer one time. As if praying a prayer is all that is required for someone to be saved. We call that easy believism. Here in this chapter, we have a group of people, Jews they're called. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews, and they claimed to believe in him. The verse goes on to say, which believed on him. So here are some Jews who claim to be children of God. But we find out that they were deceived. They had deceived themselves. And we look at this chapter and we see some simple tests to identify your spiritual father. Number one, last week we said, seriously contemplate your Lord. Follow along as I read verses 33 to 36. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, here it is, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So contemplate your Lord. If your Lord is sin, your spiritual father, God is not your spiritual father. You're a slave to sin. Number two, seriously contemplate your labor. Verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Identify, contemplate your labor, your works. Jesus goes on to say in verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me. Wait. These were the same people who said they believed in him. Jesus knew their hearts, and he said, you're seeking to kill me. Who? These people who believed in him. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Folks, again, contemplate your labor. Others identify your father by your works. Your father is not God if your labors oppose his. Contemplate your labor. This morning, we're going to look at the third thing. It's found in verses 41 to 43. Let me just read verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. So not only seriously contemplate your Lord and your labor, seriously contemplate your love. Contemplate your love. There's a lot of talk about love, and tomorrow is Valentine's Day. People are going to be talking and sending Valentine's Day cards, and there's much talk about love. And the focus is on the love that humans have for humans. And so be it. But think about this. No person can love another person more than that person who loves God more. No person can love another person more than that person who loves God more. For example, the man who loves Jesus Christ more than anyone else best loves his wife. The woman who loves Jesus Christ more than anyone else best loves her husband. The mother who loves Jesus Christ more than anyone else best loves her children. The father who loves Jesus Christ more than anyone else best loves his children. The child who loves Jesus Christ more than anyone else best loves his or her parents. So as you think about Valentine's Day, think about what Jesus said. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Sometimes a parent will say, I love my child too much to discipline my child. You don't discipline your child, you hate him. You hate him. If you love Jesus Christ more than anyone else, you will hear his commandments and obey them. Spare not the rod, the Bible says. I don't know if you've ever read anything or if you even know the name of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a well-known missionary to China. He began the China Inland Mission. He went there in the 1850s. Before he left, at the age of like 22, he had a woman with whom he was greatly in love. I don't remember her name, but for 2 years, they had a relationship where one day they planned to get married. He knew God had called him to China. But the more he talked with her, the more he fellowshiped with her, the more he got to know her, the more he began to realize she has not a heart for China. In fact, her father said to him, I will not let my daughter go to China. Hudson Taylor, at the age of 22, broke off that relationship. and went to China alone. And you read the next pages about the years of his life, and he was so lonely. So lonely. He yearned for companionship. But he did this because he loved Jesus Christ more. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If any man hate not his father or mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. These Jews here who professed faith in Jesus Christ claim in verse 41, we have one Father, even God. They are saying that God is our Father. Do you know people today who are saying, God is my Father, God is our Father? But Jesus will prove that God is not their Father. Now, if God is not their Father, who then is their Father? Do you claim God as your Father this morning? If you do, it will be tested by your relationship to two things. Number one, your relationship to his son. What is your relationship to his son? Jesus said in verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. The failure of these Jews to love Jesus Christ was direct evidence that God was not their father. Their ill will toward him annihilates their claim that God is their father. Somebody once said that what you love and what you hate reveal what you are. Similarly, I'd like to change it to say this: who you love and who you hate reveals who you are. You say, oh, but I'm not supposed to hate anybody. Well, when I say hate who you hate, I'm saying so in the sense of what it says in Psalm 139, verse 21. Did you know this verse was in the Bible? I hate them that hate thee, O Lord. Who you love and who you hate reveal who you are. Why, if God is their Father, should these Jews love Jesus? Notice what he says. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Literally, because out of God I came and I am here. Neither came I of myself. My mission is from God. God sent me. Now you can understand how they could accept and how you could accept a father but not a son who was unlike his father. Can you think of anybody in the Bible who people highly respected but did not like the children? The children, they said, man, your children are not like you. We can't handle this anymore. When you think of a great prophet in the Old Testament, think of a man by the name of Samuel. What a man of God. He's the one who as a child was there in the tabernacle and he heard the voice of God saying, speaking to him. And he thought it was Eli, the high priest. And he would go to Eli, the high priest, and said, you called? And after this happened three times, the priest said, next time say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that's when the Lord spake to him. That was the great man Samuel. But you get to chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, and by that time, the elders come to Samuel, and they say this, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us. Samuel, your boys are not like you. Oh, what a difference it would have made if the sons of Samuel would have been like him and that would have continued. You've got a great king by the name of David, a man who had his faults, a man who, when those faults were pointed out, he repented, got right with God. But oh, David, he was the one to whom all the following kings were compared. And you're not like your father David. This one is like your father David. But there is the son of David who is more than like David the king. David's son, who became king after him, Solomon, expressed his frustration when he said, "Yeah, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me." Well, wouldn't you want your inheritance to go to your son? Not if your son's not like you. Maybe I could stop here and just kind of, you know, this is a commercial break. You know what? You older folks, you have that money to leave to your children. Why are you leaving it to them if they're not living for the Lord? Why? They will simply take and abuse what you have earned and so, in such a disciplined way, tried to save to one day leave to your inheritance. Why do you leave it to those like Solomon, who said, "I shall leave it unto the man that shall be after me, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?" You already see that they're a fool. "Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun." This also is vanity. It's empty. It's chasing after the wind. Why do parents today leave what they have to children who do not live for, they may even be saved, but they don't live for the Lord? You think that once they get that money, they're going to more live for the Lord? Absolutely not. They'll take it and abuse it. You say, "What am I supposed to do with it?" Leave it to the Lord somehow. But imagine a father and a son who are alike in every way. So much so that you can't tell them apart. They're almost one and the same person. In that case, it is impossible to love the father and not the son. Somebody once said that love to Christ is the infallible mark of all true children of God. And our Lord's words here disprove the universal fatherhood of man, of God. That God is everybody's father. I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention again. Because God is not the father of those who do not love Jesus Christ. He very plainly says in verse 44, speaking to these Jews, "You are of your father," who? Your father is the devil. Get it out of your minds. As much as the world likes to say, "Well, we are all the children of God." No, we're not. No, we're not. So what Jesus says here disproves the universal fatherhood of God. It also disproves the universal brotherhood of man. We're all brothers. No, the Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. My brother is one who is walking with God, even as I walk with God. As he is in the light and I am in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You're not my brother if you don't walk in the light. These people do not love God's son. They do not love Jesus Christ, the one into whom they believed, they claimed. And the fact that they do not love the Son is also seen by the second thing. I said there were two things. If God were their father, you would love me, and they would love his word. They would love his word. Look at verse 43. "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" And I want you to note the two words, the word speech and the word word. Why is it that they did not understand Jesus' speech? What he is communicating, why? Was Jesus a poor communicator? Why is it that you wouldn't understand someone's speech? Well, they speak a foreign language. Well, that's a good reason. They speak a different language than I. What about somebody with a heavy accent? Have you ever had a problem with something in your home and you called this number? And you're speaking to someone you cannot understand? I mean, am I the only one? And you talk about frustrating. You talk about frustrating. You can't understand them. Well, is that the problem here? Did Jesus have poor diction? You know what diction is? The proper pronunciation of words. Did he have a speech impediment? Did he speak too softly? None of those are true. You see, the problem here is not the speaker. The problem is the listener. The problem is the hearer. These people were hard of hearing. Now wait a minute. It's not that their eardrums did not vibrate. That's what was happening. It's not that they didn't have ears to hear, it's they didn't have hearts to hear. Too many distractions. They had no room for his word. Go back to the last part of verse 37. My word hath no place in you. How often do parents have to tell their children, didn't you hear me? Now, you know that the child heard you because you spoke it, they heard. Again, the eardrums, however it works in there was that vibration, the sound waves were causing the vibration to take place. They heard you, but they didn't. That's why you have to say, you need to listen to me. They were thinking about something else. Something else was more important. They're distracted. And Jesus says to all today, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You cannot hear my word. A.W. Pink puts it this way. They cannot hear the still small voice of God while their ears are filled with the siren songs of the world. They cannot hear. You are not able to hear. It means they cannot receive. They cannot believe. A good illustration of this is in the very next chapter, John chapter 9. Here's this blind man whom Jesus says, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. And he came seeing. A miracle. Blind since birth. And he comes back and he's seeing. And he's excited that he can see. Look at verse 10 of chapter 9. So the Jews here said to him, how were thine eyes opened? And so this man reports to them how Jesus is the one who opened his eyes and made him able to see. So there's the first question in verse 10. Go down to verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He says to them, he put clay on my eyes, and he gives them the story for the second time. Thirdly, verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Three times in this chapter, they're saying, hey, how did this happen? How did this happen? Three times he explains to them. Notice what he says in verse 27 after those three times. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not what? Wait a second. They heard him, but they didn't. They were not listening to him. You did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Why do I have to tell you again? Then he says something that really makes him mad. Will ye also be his disciples? They can't hear. They are inwardly an enemy of the truth that Jesus speaks. That's why Jesus identifies them in verse 44. Your father is the devil. They are inwardly an enemy of the truth that he is speaking. Are people unable to hear the truth today? Oh, they hear it. It could be somebody right here this morning. You're hearing me. You're hearing the words that I'm saying, but you're not listening. You're not listening. You're thinking of something else. You're not listening with your heart. You don't like what the Bible says. You hate what the Bible says. You see, Jesus haters claim no absolutes. They claim there is no truth. They are not able to hear the truth because they hate the truth. Oh, how well this is illustrated in what's happening in our nation politically. It is such an illustration. People do not want to hear the truth. They don't even want to debate it. Debate has shut down. We've had the freedom of speech for 200 and some years, and today people are shutting it down because they don't want to hear the truth. That which is happening politically, folks, is happening spiritually. People do not want to hear what the Bible says. They're unable to hear the truth because they hate the truth. I did a little study on the word for truth here in the book of John. Here's something that's really interesting. John uses the word truth 3 times more than the other gospel writers combined. You take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and you compare them with the book of John, and John uses the word truth more than these three combined. Same thing is true for the word believe. John uses the word believe 3 times more than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Why? Well, when you find the purpose for which John was written in chapter 20 and verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you might believe in his name. Jesus is not asking them to believe a lie. He is not asking you to believe a lie. He's asking you to believe the truth. I like to compare scripture with scripture. I like to go to other scripture passages where the word truth is used. My only hesitation to do this is because I lose people who are listening, but they're not. Okay, are you listening? Okay. Because once you start quoting scripture that people have heard before, they tune out. Don't tune out. Listen to the word truth as I read these passages. I'm not asking you to turn to them. I'm asking you to listen with interest. Jesus is not asking you to believe a lie. He's asking you to believe the truth. John 1:14, Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 3:21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. John 4:23, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, and in truth. John 4:24, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Right here in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, right here in John 8, verse 40, ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. John 8:45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 18:37, when he's standing before Pilate, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I could go on. People talk today about your truth and my truth. No, there's the truth. It is Jesus Christ. It is his word. That is the truth. And if your truth doesn't go along with the truth, what you believe is a lie. Paul stood before Festus, the governor, and he says this to Festus in Acts 26:25, I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. You read this in Romans 1:25, that these who have disbelieved in God, who don't believe in God, they changed the truth of God into a lie. It literally means they exchanged the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more or rather than the Creator. Here's something for Valentine's tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love rejoices in the truth. Ephesians 1:13. Speaking of our salvation, after that ye have heard the word of truth. As a your lifestyle as a believer, Ephesians 4:25, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Chapter 5, verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all truth. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. When it talks about the spirit and person of Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, there are those who perish. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God's desire? Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. The description of the last days is given in 2 Timothy 3, 7 and 8, ever learning and never able to come to the truth, a knowledge of the truth. These also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And then you get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 1 John 5, 1 through 3, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Here's the whole point. You know the spiritual family of God by those who love Jesus Christ and therefore love his word. How do you know that God is someone's father? They love his son, Jesus Christ. And how do you know that somebody loves Jesus Christ? Jesus answers that in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. That's how you know someone who loves Jesus Christ. And if somebody loves Jesus Christ, they love God the Father. Folks, a person does not love Jesus Christ if that person does not love and obey his word. Many claim that God is their father. Jews today claim that God is their father. You go to Israel, you talk to the Jews, you talk to a Jew here, especially in New York City where there's so many of them. You know who they claim their father is? Physically, it's Abraham. Spiritually, God is our father. Then you ask them, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Oh, he was a false prophet. You know what? They just lied. You cannot say, you can say it, but you cannot claim it to be true. You can claim that God is your father, but if you do not love his son, Jesus Christ, God is not your father. Muslims, same thing. Go right through all the false religions. Many claim that God is their father, but you can always find out what somebody really believes when you say, what think ye of Christ? I told you the story once when my wife and I were on a cruise ship, the only one we've been on, and I was having my devotions down in the main part of it, and I was just sitting with my Bible open at this little table. I was reading. I was engrossed. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice from heaven. Not really. But it was all. And it literally said, what think ye of Christ? And I looked up, and there was this elderly man. Found out later he was in his 90s. He had seen me reading my Bible. He said, his words were, I still remember, what think ye of Christ? Folks, that's the question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? And I immediately said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins. Well, he invited us to supper that night. And we had a great time of Juanita remembers this. We had a great time with this man and all his other group that was there on that ship. Why? A brother in Christ. And we had tremendous fellowship together. What think ye of Christ? Who is he? If you were to ask these Jews, what think ye of Christ? What would they say? Well, you can find out what they think of him. Verse 48. You're a Samaritan. You have a devil. Who are these people? The same ones it says in verse 31, believed on him. Same ones you find out in verse 59 that they take up stones to cast at him. They want to stone him. Who's their father, folks? Verse 44. As the one sent by God the Father, Jesus delivers the Father's message. And those who are truly the children of God will recognize that the message on Jesus' lips is the message of God the Father. His listeners were constantly misunderstanding, misinterpreting, and stumbling at his speech. Chapter 6, he speaks of bread. They think he's speaking about physical bread that they can feed their stomachs with. In chapter 8 here, he speaks of freedom. They think he's talking about temporal freedom and political freedom. In verse 38 of chapter 8, he speaks of their father. They thought it meant their father Abraham. They're constantly misunderstanding, misinterpreting, and stumbling at his speech. And it's the same with listeners of the gospel today. The application of God's word goes right over their head. You can preach the truth. And they can even tell you how good the sermon was. And then they go out and support lies and liars. Who is your spiritual father? Who is your father? Who is he? It is not God the Father if you do not love the one whom he sent. It is not God the Father if you do not listen to his word. Are you hearing his word this morning? I trust that you can honestly be able to say that you daily have the attitude of little Samuel. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. Amen. And you truly listen to him. Is God your father?